Are you looking through the Cubs book? Because I was looking through the Cubs book by Rick Kempfer. Every Cub ever.
Did you pick any out that you'd like to order?
I am embarrassed to say that I do not. I'm not that familiar with.
You don't remember some of them? Well, it's impossible. I mean, the Cubs started in 1871, so there's going to be a couple whose names are probably foreign to you.
I guess, but I would feel. All right, here, Randy Huntley. I know Randy Huntley.
Can I say something strange about Randy Huntley?
Yes.
We're not on the air, right?
Is he related to Todd Huntley?
It's his father. Very good. Very good. Very good.
You're
actually, that
patronizing
reminds
me.
I can now tell you two funny things about Randy Huntley.
All right.
Number one is Randy Huntley's nickname is Rebel. And whenever they interview him, they go out of their way to say Rebel. Like sometimes they will start and end a sentence with the word Rebel. Like when you're talking to somebody, you wouldn't normally say their name really, 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 really often. It might come up once or twice. But whenever Randy Huntley stops by the booth, the guys say Rebel at a record pace.
And why was that his nickname? Do we know that?
He was rebellious. He was the only catcher that would face the opposite way.
He created the first Cubs fantasy camp?
Yes, the Randy Huntley fantasy camp. Yes.
No, Rebels.
The fantasy. Rebel, Randy Huntley's Rebel fantasy Rebel camp, Rebel. They say it an amazing amount of time. All right. One time, Randy comes up into the booth to do Cubs games, not frequently, but a couple of times a year. And Ron Santo one time, I can't remember which Cub was playing, but they signed him as a free agent, and he wasn't doing well, whoever this Cub was. And Ron Santo is in the booth talking about how every once in a while the Cubs will get a guy as a free agent, and it's just a bust. And he goes, well, you had this guy, you had this guy, you had Todd Huntley, you had, he's going down the line of Cubs, and Randy's in the booth. It's as though Ron didn't remember that it was his
oh,
son.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Not great.
Did,
it got
did
real
he
quiet.
Bring some? Oh, okay.
It got very quiet for a while.
Wilson Contreras, I remember him.
Well, yeah.
Chuck Connors, the Rifleman?
Chuck Connors, the Rifleman.
Was a Cub?
Yes.
In
a first baseman, I believe.
In the 20s? No.
No.
In the 50s.
In the
50s. 1951.
Yeah.
Honest to God?
Yeah.
I thought you were kidding.
Mm-mm. Chuck Connors. The Rifleman.
Mind blown.
Yep. Yep. I think he was the only TV Western cowboy, I think, to ever play for the Cubs. Oh, wait. Dan Blocker played for the Cubs for a couple of years, too.
He did not.
Hoss Cartwright.
No, he didn't. I, honest to God, did not know that.
Yeah. Right, Rebel? Where'd you go? Where'd Randy Huntley go? Randy, where'd you go? Come back, Rebel. It's nuts. I will, like, I'll be driving along and I'll pick an over and under and I'll go 11. They're not going to say Rebel 11 times. Not a problem. They get 11 done in the first three sentences.
All right. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know Chuck Connors,
the
Rifleman. The
Rifleman.
Was on the Cubs. Was he good?
He wasn't great. And he wasn't a baseball player for a long time, just a little bit of time. What Cub, Wendy, I'm creating trivia questions just based on the names. Which Cub player had the same name as a hotel chain?
Ritz-Carlton.
Yes. Ritz-Carlton Fizz. He played for the White Sox.
Well, yeah. Oh, I know
the
who it is.
The only Cub to have the same name as a hotel chain.
Palmer House.
Oh, that's great.
No,
it's not
I do
right
know
answer.
Who it is, but I can't think of it.
Oh.
Conrad Hilton.
No. He did.
He Isn't
didn't.
He a baseball player, though? Isn't
Conrad
there?
Hilton? No, he was
there's somebody.
A hotel magnet.
Oh, I'm thinking of Coco Crisp.
Which, by the way,
it's the best.
Seriously, could you get a better name in the world than Coco Crisp?
I'm surprised you don't have a jersey of his. I know he's not on your team, but still.
There was a time where the Indians had Coco Crisp. And they also had Howard Johnson. No, Howard Johnson is actually the,
that's
the answer to my question.
Conrad Hilton.
They had Milton Bradley playing for them, too.
All right, that's who I'm confusing him with.
Milton Bradley.
They made properties in the Monopoly game.
But Milton Bradley was not a nice man. Coco Crisp was a good guy.
Milton Bradley, the real guy,
baseball
wasn't
player.
A good guy?
No, the Milton Bradley who created Milton Bradley games, I don't know anything about.
Oh, okay.
But Milton Bradley, the baseball player, was a jerk.
Milton Bradley has a hot one. It's
a twister. Spin the spinner.
Call the shot.
Twister ties you up in a knot. That's Twister. by MB.
See why you need to listen to us on WGNX.
Yes.
Bill Leff Unleashed. That's what I
Cut
like to call
out.
This.
Don't even. I don't remember this guy played for the Cubs. Minoru Kawasaki. Do you remember him?
No.
Chick Keating. Do you remember him?
No.
I remember almost all these guys. Every once in a while I see a name that I'm not familiar with. Here's an interesting one. I'll just tell you a quick story about this guy. Mick Kelleher. That's a name you might remember.
Yeah.
He played for the Cubs in the 70s. He was an infielder from 1976 to 1980. He, at one point, got into a fight with Dave Kingman, who was playing for the Mets at the time. Mick Kelleher was probably 5'8", 5'7", and very thin. And Dave Kingman was a monster of a guy. And they got into a big fight. I think Kingman slid into him at second base, and then they started fighting. And somebody in the Cubs management went, that guy's awful, that Dave Kingman. He would never play for the Cubs. And then 2 years later, he was a Cub.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And he had Dave Kingman, in addition to being a Cubs outfielder, and one of those guys, you know how baseball has a bunch of guys that either hit a home run or they strike out. That's all they do. They never hit a ground ball to the second baseman or an easy pop-up to the center fielder. Home run or strike out. That was Dave Kingman. He had an ice cream place by Wrigley Field for a while when he was with the Cubs. He had his own ice cream shop.
Was it called Kingman's?
I don't remember the name of it. But you would think if, like, whoever was helping him with it would be smart enough to go, Dave, you got to put your name on the ice cream shop.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. I said, wait, Chuck Connors also played in the NBA?
No.
All right. Everybody's trying to blow my mind. Someone else says,
I don't think that's true.
How about you blow Wendy's mind? My name's Wendy, but that's okay. With the Peter Marshall from Hollywood Squares connection.
Do you know this one?
No.
Peter Marshall, the host, the longtime host of the Hollywood Squares, had a son who played for the Cubs for several years named Pete Lecoq.
You just set yourself up for that.
He was the Cubs' first baseman. He also played for the Kansas City Royals. That's Peter Marshall's actual last name, by the way.
Well, why in God's name would he have changed it?
I don't know. To be more game show friendly.
I'm sure Marshall was his middle name. I gotta look that up.
It could have been. And then his sister is also was an actress.
But she had a different name.
Her name cannot be said on the air. Her name is Joanne Drew. That's not a bad name at all. But you would think with that original last name, she could have really gone nuts, but she did not. She was very well behaved, Joanne Drew.
All right. Thank you, listener, for setting Bill up so he could.
Pete Lecoq had amazing locks.
Yes,
of
I bet
hair.
He did.
He had like flowing blonde hair and a mustache that was quite a piece of art, also.
How do you spell that?
L A.
You are so easy. I swear to God, sometimes.
This once again proves the theory that all of us are 11. Everyone, no matter how old you think you are, you're not. You're 11.
Was he a good baseball player?
Pete Lecoq? Absolutely. Good first baseman. Good glove. Could hit if he wanted to. Why wouldn't he want to? What would have to happen if you're a Major League Baseball player? Come on, Pete, we need a hit. Nah. See. We'll see how things go. Yeah, I think he was a Cub for 3 years. Likeable guy.
He has two daughters.
Are they Major League Baseball players? Probably not.
No.
No. Because the glass ceiling hasn't been broken yet, Wendy.
It never will be for that.
I got to be honest. I'd be shocked if at some point a team doesn't get a woman in at some point. You don't think so? You don't think you'll ever see a woman play Major League Baseball?
No.
No? Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, no. And I guess if the girl, woman, I guess she'd have to be, was good enough by all means. But
right.
I just, in the way men have gotten bigger through natural reasons and without, I don't know if they could be as good. I don't know.
That'd be tough.
I'd like to see it, but I don't think that will. Boy, the clubhouse would change a lot, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I'm trying to think of the four major sports. So you got baseball, football, hockey, and basketball. Which would be the one where a woman would stand the most chance of competing? Like, do you ever think? I don't think we'll ever see a woman. Well, I take that back. I was going to say football would be the one that probably not, but I think a woman could be a kicker. She could.
Yeah. And there are women football leagues, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not here in Chicago.
I don't think we have. I don't think there's anything in Chicago. I don't think. All right. So which would be the one where you could probably get by? Like, a kicker isn't often. I mean, they are tackled from time to time, but it's not like being a lineman or something where I know you're going to get tackled on every play.
Right. Yes.
So that might be difficult. That might be difficult. You know what? I'm going to call Pete LeCocq. Hold on a second.
Oh, stop
it. See if he can answer this question for us.
You're embarrassing me, actually, for the first time.
We will never see a woman in any of the four major sports.
I almost want to say Pete LeCocq was kind of cute.
Yeah. Did he have, in the picture you're looking at, does he have the big mustache and the
blonde hair?
Yeah, he had a lot of hair. Yep. I don't think you and I were working together. I think I was doing overnights.
With Pete LeCocq? Once,
yeah, Pete LeCocq and I were doing overnights for a while. When somebody wrote a story about how in tennis, maybe I was working with you, I can't remember. In tennis, like, the best women players, so certainly the Williams sisters.
Yes.
Venus and Serena. And then
Steffi Graf.
By today's standards, but there was a time you would have certainly included Steffi Graf.
I could remember a tennis player.
Whoever the top five women are today, that they might break the top 50 or 60. If one of the Williams sisters was playing the number 60th ranked guy in tennis, they probably wouldn't do well.
Yeah.
And people got upset and went, well, that's not true.
I remember talking about
this.
But
it is true.
Now, how would these people, like, how would the Williams sisters, like, if they were the same age, play against Martina Navratilova?
Navratilova?
Would she have been better?
I think it'd be pretty even.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Billie Jean King?
I think they would beat Billie Jean King pretty easily. But by the time Martina Navratilova became a thing, the game changed enough. When you see footage of Billie Jean King playing, it's an almost slower, more polite game. You know, it's not the power game that the Williams sisters have, or even Martina Navratilova had. There's a lot of loftier, slower points. You know, it's like you're watching it in slow motion, but then the game just changed a little bit. It became faster and harder.
I don't know. I almost feel like, you know, a woman could play hockey because there's so much padding and stuff.
I think so, too. That might be the right answer, that of the four sports, if a woman was going to crack the barrier and finally play professionally, I think maybe hockey.
This is where I throw it out there, and I am certainly not a sexist at all. I'm a feminist. Mm-hmm. I believe in equal rights and equal plays on the field. But I'm just thinking of the Blackhawks. Say that there was a young woman who was really good,
mm-hmm.
and played, maybe they had a high school or recreational league,
right.
And she, like, score-wise and how she played was tough, and they put her on the Blackhawks. Wouldn't it change the way men playing hockey would play against her? Like, you wouldn't want to check her.
So a guy would play softer knowing...
That's what I would think. I'm asking you because you're a guy. I mean, you've been taught all these years respect women, but now all of a sudden if they're your equal on the ice...
I would have a hard time. If I was a pro hockey player, I would have a hard time knowing that the woman the skater that I was defending was a woman. I hate to say it, but I would almost go easier just because I would feel terrible if I hurt her.
Okay, perfect. So the Hawks should hire a woman.
All women.
Well, all right, now you're pushing it.
It should be all women.
Lingerie hockey? Is that what you want?
If it comes to that. Yes.
No, but if there was a woman on the Blackhawks.
It's too cold on the ice for lingerie hockey.
Said no man ever other than you. My God. Go with the views on, isn't it?
Yes. I'm DVRing it. I'm saying.
And you're PMSing it.
I'm suing Wendy Jasmine. I'm suing her. Write that down. All right.
I am mean to you sometimes, but you know what? It builds up because you're mean to me almost once a day, and I'm not. And then all of a sudden, it just, I kind of like it. It was fun. Now I know why you do it.
Yeah, it's fun. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more show. Pete Lecocq coming up right after the news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Up. Yeah. All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are on the stream. It's WGN Extra. Before we start the news, real quickly, someone has texted us. We were talking about if there were women baseball players, football players, hockey players. Someone says Melissa Mayhew, a French baseball player, was one of the first female players eligible to be signed by an MLB team.
Really? When was this? I don't know the story at all.
Was she signed?
I don't know.
No, I will look her up. But that, I guess I would say baseball they could play. I thought hockey, you thought a kicker in football, but baseball, there's less contact. So I think a baseball player.
I guess it's it's possible.
But I would say basketball's possible, too, because...
Basketball, I think, might be the toughest one. Not the most physical.
I mean, you have the WNBA, and nobody's ever trickled over at this point.
No, right.
So...
That would be tough. Boy.
Why do you think that would be tougher?
There's a physicality to the game, and I know there is in all the sports, but... It's a different game when women play it than when men play it.
Okay.
And I don't know if it would, even if you were the best, because I had talked about how years ago I read this article where they said the best of the women tennis players wouldn't even crack the top 50 in the men's league.
Interesting.
And it's hard to imagine that, because if you see the Williams sisters, you go, but they're excellent, and they are, but it's a different caliber. It just is.
Melissa Mayhew, a freshman from France, played at the Miami-Dade college level. She could have a future in Major League Baseball. She grew up playing baseball with and against boys in France, was the only female on the French under-18 junior national team.
Wow.
She was the only female. She's playing softball now. But she, former Major League stars Barry Larkin and Steve Finley have worked with her at camps. She recently became the first female player added to MLB's international registration list. In other words, she's now eligible to be signed by a Major League Baseball organization, and this was January.
So were you guys just talking team sports?
Yeah.
Because golf, maybe.
Right. The only difference in golf is, like, women don't hit it as far.
As
they
have
the women's tees.
But what if there's a big beefy woman, and I'm not being funny here.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be a slight man who can't hit it as far as a bigger beefy guy.
But you could be a finesse golf player, you know, and not have to hit it so far and still score well.
All right, because I know next to nothing about golf, you'll have to tell me about this. Are the scores, when men and women play on the same course, not at the same time, but on the same course, are their scores relatively close, or do men usually beat him by a significant amount of strokes?
Well, when I play with my family and I'm the only woman playing, you know, I'll play on the women's tees and they'll play from the men's tees, and our scores, depending on how well we're playing, you know, can be similar. I can get a, you know, 5 on a par 4,
right,
and they can get a 5 on a
par
4.
But I mean, at the professional level, are the women's scores, when they play the same courses, are they about the same as men's?
I would think so, but they probably play from different where they're driving from is not going to be as far as where a man's going to drive from.
The women's tees are about, what, 30 yards different, about that?
They've
changed a little bit?
Yeah, they're all different.
See, and that only matters really on the first shot of a new hole.
And then sometimes, like, a woman's tee will be marked in the same spot as somebody, an older man who plays from the senior tees.
Oh, I didn't know they even had that.
Yes, they do have, like, the seniors. So, you know, it can vary.
By the way, Chuck Connors was one of only 13 athletes in the history of American professional sports to have played both Major League Baseball on the Cubs and in the NBA as a Boston Celtic.
Really?
The others are Danny Ainge,
Dave DeBuscher,
Frank Baumholtz, Gene Conley, Dave
DeBuscher,
Johnny G, Cotton Nash.
Oh, I forgot about him.
His brother polyester.
Getting an EGOT, you know, when you win an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
It's the same. It's the same kind of thing.
Dick Ricketts.
Oh, my uncle had that.
Where's Pete LeCocq when you need him? Dick Grote. God,
luckily,
we are 12-year-old. Maybe we better go to news right now.
Luckily, that was cured by the time I
Steve Hamilton, Mark Hendrickson, Ron Reed, and Howie Schultz.
Oh, Howie Schultz just rounded it out, huh?
Are you proud of yourself, Bill?
Look at Bill.
You need to excuse yourself.
I'm going to stand in the corner for the rest of the show.
Tell me the guy's first name again, the first one.
No. Kim, you're the one who has to do news while we're sitting here giggling like a couple of hyenas.
That isn't right. You can't do that.
All right. Well, so Chuck Connors, the Rifleman, did definitely
play pro basketball, pro baseball, and he was the Rifleman.
That's pretty incredible.
That's pretty great.
I mean, Deion Sanders did football and basketball.
Right.
But no TV show.
Bo Jackson, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bo Jackson.
There have been a couple of guys that have played more than one sport. But, boy, that's impressive.
Who did... Wait, go ahead. Matt, football and baseball, who did that? Did I get Deion wrong?
Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, football and baseball.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just two sports, though. Two right. professional sports.
Right. And at the same... not at the exact same time, but...
Michael Jordan.
During the season.
Was a White Sox for a minute.
Yeah.
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 Not very good.
I would say a better basketball player than a baseball player.
You
yes.
think?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tough. All right.
Michael Jordan wasn't a White Sox.
Let's do some news, shall we?
Minor league for the White Sox. Didn't make the big club. Although they let him play when they did the Crosstown Classic.
Matt's got to stop correcting us.
I don't think he ever played.
I thought he was on the team. Yeah. I could be wrong.
I think they only let him play when the Cubs and Sox played when it didn't count. Right? I don't know that
that's
they ever...
when they put me on the air here.
When it didn't count?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
All right. Channel 5 anchor Dick Johnson is waiting on the line to talk to you.
Dick Johnson, of course, often does his broadcasts with Pete Sack.
I know.
They work
Explain
together.
That to
that's
me.
That's fun. That's a nice combination.
I just don't... They did that on purpose. They hooked those two up.
And we would be remiss if we did not mention the Cubs' greatest pitching coach of all time, Dick Pohl. For a long time, he was their pitching coach.
Can I add one in?
Yeah.
My husband went to law school with a guy named Dick Head.
He did?
Yes.
That's a nice name.
Can I just say something?
That's your parents hating
no,
you.
No, why don't you go by Richard?
Right. I don't
or
know.
Richie.
I don't understand.
Right. Rick.
Rich, right. Anything.
Yeah, there's options out there.
Or what's your middle name?
But, right, go with that. But doesn't that say, like, the parents are obviously, they have quite a sense of humor.
Like,
but
do you think there was a dickhead senior?
Oh
yeah.
I guarantee you. Think
so? So he says, I had to live through this. My son is also going to live through this.
You will, that's right.
Yeah, if I have to endure this, you are also going to have to.
I know a lot of Richards that go by Richards.
Right.
I mean, people would still chuckle.
Yes.
But I just, why do you choose the nickname you choose? Why would you go Dick, short for Richard?
Right. Or how did that even become?
I don't know, because Rick.
Right.
And then it turned to Dick.
Right. There were three kids in our high school that had what I considered to be strange names, but nobody else saw it that way. There was a kid named Rick O'Shea. And whenever, like, the first time I met him, I go, your name is Ricochet? He goes,
like,
yeah.
Bounce back?
Like, he didn't think that was strange. And nobody else did either. They go, why is that funny? And I go, his name is Ricochet. You don't think that's funny? No, I don't get it.
No one says Ricochet. They say Ricochet.
Alan Poe, who went by the name Al Poe. No one thought that was funny
Dog
but me.
Food.
Right.
That's really pushing it.
And then there was a girl, well, this one is also pushing it. Kay Mertz, which sounds like Kmart to me. It's very close to Kmart.
Stretch.
That one's a stretch. But Al Poe and Ricochet, that's right there. That's just laying there.
Kids are so mean.
Well, in this case, I blame the parents. I don't blame the kids. Because when you're a parent and you're thinking up baby names, don't you go, oh, wait a minute. My son would have the same name as dog food. That's not good. I have to go in a different direction.
But maybe they don't have a dog and didn't think of it.
I guess.
Or, I don't know.
I guess.
Is Al Poe even still around then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's big. But, I mean, when...
God, that stuff used to just make me barf when
oh,
I
the smell of it.
Can. Oh,
yeah, I know.
couple of dog lovers sitting in the studio.
I love dogs, but I remember, like, I fed my dogs dry food, and that you open that can. Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty pretty hard to digest, yeah, that smell.
There's not a lot that makes me gag.
Cat
that
food's worse than dog food.
Well, cat food
tuna's the
like
worst
tuna
than both of them.
Yeah. Obviously, I like tuna. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Oh. Alpo's bad.
Alpo smelled better than tuna.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Underwood deviled ham was really good, but that smelled kind of like...
awful.
It was really good, though. Did you ever have it?
Spam smell funny, too, I think?
I don't like spam.
No, me either.
You know, if you have meat...
Just look at it. It looks like throw up in a can.
That's what they called it originally, Kim.
Throw up in a can.
Yeah, they didn't sell any of it.
Well, it's if you have meat and there's gelatinous goo around it, that's when I take a pass.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, you want your gelatinous goo to an absolute minimum in your food.
Well, that's why they fry it so much in Hawaii. It's so popular. Yeah, because that gelatinous turns into like a
crispy fat.
Well, like kind of greasy.
Yep.
Yeah, gosh.
Gelatinous goo. You're making me hungry. What is the age? This is a survey that was conducted by TD Ameritrade, and they asked, what is the age when it becomes embarrassing that you're still living with your parents?
Oh, wow.
What would be the magic number?
I was old when I moved out.
I think that number fluctuates depending on the economy and depending on the generation.
Yep.
I was like 27-ish when I moved out.
Were you? Yeah. Is that old? I don't know if that's old. Is that that old?
Some, you know, former millennials working here who still live with their parents.
Still do?
Did,
yeah,
for a very long time.
But how old are they, though? Just ballpark.
30. One's 30.
See, I probably would still be living with my mom if you didn't get a full-time job. I mean, I did one shift a week at the Loop radio station, and then I worked at Brookfield Zoo during the week. Because it's like you couldn't make a living.
Radio, right? Yeah. You've got to do it when you can until you can... get a full-time gig.
Until, I mean, if I wouldn't have gotten hired full-time, I would have just lived with my mom longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I think now because of mostly like student debt and stuff, it's forcing so many kids who normally would go, I can afford my own place because of student debt.
That's
impossible.
Their mortgage. Right. They're stupid. I can't even believe it.
But the trickle-down of that is... if you're staying with your parents are probably paying more for things, you know, just to keep the house populated with groceries and that sort of thing. So what that does is it kind of wipes away or makes it harder to save for retirement. So, you know, the trickle down is everybody loses.
Yeah.
Well, I had two thoughts about that. First of all, like in Europe, people live with their families live together for
forever.
A long time. And then, you know, and here and also in Europe, you know, older parents come back and end up living with the kids, so it sometimes reverses itself.
Right, right. Did the grandparents coming back and living with your family, did that happen to you at some point?
It didn't happen with me, but my great-grandmother lived with my grandmother for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How'd that play out? Was that good or not good?
It was okay. It was fine.
It was all right?
Yeah.
Wendy, you didn't have that. You didn't have grandparents living with you, did
not
you?
Not with us, but aunt. You know, aunt. My mom's only sister.
Kim doesn't know this. Was called aunt even as a young girl before
she wasn't. Her name was Eleanor, but instead of saying Aunt Eleanor, because I really only had one aunt, we just called her aunt. And Eleanor's sister, Susie, you know my cousin Susie. Eleanor's husband, Selwyn, was killed in World War II. He had just seen Susie once and was killed. So she was widowed very early. So they lived with my grandparents.
Wow.
And that's, Italians do that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, because my great-great-grandmother and my great-aunt lived together because she was divorced, never had children.
Yeah. She just saved their money that way. Yeah.
I have to say, my grandfather lived with us for a couple of years, and it was extremely stressful. Just the culture clash was so stressful. And he, when my parents were dating before they were married, he was not kind to my father at all. So for my dad to give in to that, because I've said to my dad 100 times, I wouldn't have done it.
Because he's a better man than you are.
He is.
He's kinder.
There's no question about it.
And he loved your mom so much.
Oh, yeah. All that's true, but just like the way he treated my dad during their courtship, and then
once they
decided to get married, because my dad was a religion that my grandfather was not comfortable with, so
I understand
it made it very tough. But there he was for a couple of years.
How was that on your mom? I bet that put a lot of stress on her, like trying to get them to get along.
You know, at some point, she just kind of wrote it off and went...
Did they ever kind of reconcile?
They accepted each other. You know what? I know this is a strange comparison, but when I watched that All in the Family Jeffersons thing last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a similar kind of a vibe. You know how like most of All in the Family was Archie yelling at Mike Stivic about what a meathead he was and clueless and stuff. But then as the show went on, you saw he really loved and respected him.
Right. But even though he didn't want to admit it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you saw it. I kind of saw that with my grandfather and my dad, you know, when my mom's father lived with us, was that they were so different about so many things, but they kind of, you know, my dad realized without him, my mom wouldn't have existed, and he realized that my dad was providing a great family for my mom, so it all balanced out. But it was really tough. In my wife's family, her mother's mother came and lived with them, and it was just horrendous. You know, they were so different. The family and the mom were so different. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, she grew up in an era where things were a certain way, and when life was changing, she wasn't ready to change. But we'd go and visit, and I'd get in the car, and I'd say to my wife, I'd say, I don't know how they don't kill each other. And she goes, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Families.
Right.
Can't my grandparents might as well lived with us. They were over all the time.
Were they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the time. Because my mom's an only child. You know, they were always with
us. Yeah.
So how old were you when you moved out?
I had just turned 21.
See, that's young to me. I feel like I was older. I started working at the Loop. Maybe I was 25.
Yeah. I bet that's about, wouldn't you say about average, 23, 24, 25 usually?
Well, it's whenever you can get a full-time job where you have enough to, and you can find a roommate. Carla Felicia and I live together.
Yeah.
And you need to find someone in a place that will actually let you rent because you don't have any references because you've never lived out before.
Right. And now, you know, your parents have to co-sign for you a lot on leases.
Right.
For apartments and stuff?
Yeah.
God, you know, boy, times have changed so much. I hate to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, although I am.
Yeah.
My daughter's in a situation in New York
where... I was going to say New York is the worst. We had to co-sign for a cousin,
She has 6 roommates.
How big is this place?
Do they have
it's
up
immense.
Those foldable walls and they build the walls? Have you heard about that, though?
Yeah.
Where they divide rooms? Yeah.
It's a 6-bedroom apartment with 1 bathroom, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Do the math on that.
And
how
6
did that
girls,
happen?
Right?
Yeah. No, 2 guys.
Oh, 2 guys. Okay.
Right?
Still, though, 4 girls.
So it's in Kylie's name. It's in my daughter's name, which means whenever one of them has a hard time making rent that month, guess who absorbs that? You know? Now, luckily, everything is balanced out eventually, but I like every year I go, could you let somebody else put their name on the lease for a little bit?
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure we can.
So you had to co-sign.
My wife co-signed, yeah.
For 6 people.
For 6 people.
Yeah.
Only 2 of which I know. So, you know, we're just hoping every month. I go, is everybody working? Everybody have a part-time job at least, please, just in case?
Boy, that's not too stressful.
No.
Kylie, how's everything going? Awesome. Hey, everybody working?
Right. I got to
ask just have that, like, text, just, you know.
The group one.
And just say every once a month, everybody
keep
working?
Keep me posted. Right. Right, please.
All good?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Not that New York is expensive to live in.
Yeah, no. Not at all.
Right. I didn't know a 6-bedroom apartment even existed
unless
you were like really wealthy, but this is just like a standard.
How many square feet is that?
I don't know. I've been there. I can't calculate square feet, but every room is like a fairly average. Yeah. There's nothing special about it. It's just.
Is there a great kitchen though?
No, it's a small kitchen and a really small bathroom. Like you go. Well, if there's 1 bathroom, at least it's got to be a pretty good size one.
Mm-hmm. I bet they don't even have a full size fridge, do they? They have those little ones.
They have smaller than normal sized, and it's a walk up. It's a 6-floor walk up, so any furniture that goes up,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's quite
a
challenge.
Ideal.
Yeah, right. It is. It is ideal. And she always says, when you guys are in New York, if you want to stay with us, and I just hold my hand up and I go, don't, I couldn't stay.
Where would you stay?
Right. In a drawer.
I worked on Seinfeld. It is New York.
I know. Yeah, just leave a drawer open for us. Please. So please.
So what is the age? What age do they say is
all right,
too old?
According to,
we have to answer the question.
TD Ameritrade, they say that the average age where it starts to become embarrassing if you still live with your parents is 28.
Not by these days, standards.
I would say 48 would be embarrassing.
I would say 35.
Yeah, but what if, you know, what if you're engaged to be married and you're, it falls through and you don't?
There's always extenuating circumstances.
My kids don't ever have to move out. I'm fine with that.
You got them for life?
Kind of hope they're not listening right now, but
I have one who would be, I mean, he does live on his own and he's great on his own, but he wouldn't mind coming back.
But don't you think, all right, in my head, before I saw that the answer was 28, in my head it was 30, because you know how you start to kind of take stock in yourself at the milestone ages, you know, at every 5 and 10. So you go, wow, I'm 30 and I'm still living at home. Even though financially it makes sense, it plays on you a little bit. You're like, right. I really thought at this age I'd have my own place.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work out that way.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
I don't think you should feel like a loser.
People get married later now, so you can move out later because...
Right.
It's weird because I was 36 when I had my first kid, 35 when I got married. In my head, in my perfect world, I would have been like 27 when I got married, kids at 30. But it doesn't always work out that way.
You can plan, but...
Aren't you, though, if you look at like the milestones of life, I can't speak for you, but for me... I'm behind schedule on nearly every one of them.
And I'm ahead of the game.
Are you?
Yes.
Because
I got married at 20. I had my first kid at 22.
Jeez.
I'm a grandmother at 54.
So, yeah, a lot of my friends are grandparents. Yours too?
Yeah.
But I
so,
was early.
Yeah, you established early on.
Yeah.
Ahead
and
of the
I'm
game.
Having more fun on the back end.
Yes, I'm not having fun at all. I hope I.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
On the back end.
Kim, thank you for hanging out. We'll take a quick break. We'll close things off.
I really think we should thank Pete LeCocq.
Yes, we definitely should thank him
for providing us.
Wasn't
some
he
content.
Fun? He's good. All right, that's it for today's show.
Don't even.
Some would say it went an hour too long.
Not me.
Not me. No, not me. Tomorrow, another big day. Another fun day tomorrow. Dane Neal will stop by. We'll talk about Dane Neal type stuff. I'm not sure. And then other hijinks tomorrow.
Can't wait.
All right. Thanks. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
Bye, Jinx.